And so I'm actually talking today about spiritual living, not about religious living, but about spiritual living, or living our spirituality. And so I'm actually curious about what that means to you. What does that mean to you to live your spirituality?
Mindfulness.
What else? What does that mean to live your spirituality or spiritual living?
Remembering who I am. Mm. Thoughts come up that I know don't resonate with me, having the power to connect and get rid of those thoughts.
Absolutely. To remember who we are, to step past that stuff that runs down the road and to stop and remember that. Absolutely. Shelley?
To share it out.
Say it again.
To share it.
To share what specifically?
Okay. You remember who you are. Mm-hmm. Put your stuff aside. And you have a wonderful feeling. You know who you are. Now you've got to share it.
Yep. I love it. And then you share it. That's awesome. Those are exactly what I'm talking about today. All those things. That's awesome. And yeah, so to me, living my spirituality then means that me coming from my spirit to the best of my ability. That doesn't mean that I'm perfect, but to the best of my ability, sharing my spirit, tapping into that place within me that knows, and then sharing that with the world coming from there. It means discovering my own essential nature and divine presence, my own divinity within me, and then coming from there in all that I do in the world. That's really living my spirituality. And so I was reading, this is one of my favorite books. If you don't own this book, it's called 365 Days of Richer Living by Ernest Holmes and Raymond Charles Barker. It is a daily read. It has a date, and it is one of my most favorite books in the entire world. And so this one is called I Simplify My Understanding of God. And it says, Jesus was not interested in the logics of theology. He was primarily concerned with the spirit of man. I now turn to that spirit within me and find it in all its greatness and all its peace. There is an interior Christ mind that baffles all reasoning and is beyond all human explanation. In me, at this moment, God abides in fullness, in richness, in omniscience. My life today is the life of God. My thinking this day is accomplished because the God mind thinks through me. My capacity to be a great and loving person is because greatness is born of the spirit that indwells me. Living our spirituality is discovering the greatness of that spirit that indwells us, that enables us to go out and be a great and loving person. That, to me, is the crux and the core of spirituality. And so then, if spirituality is discovering that greatness that indwells us and recognizing that it's always present, yes, then we're able to tap into it and share it wherever we go in the world. And how we share that then, how we bring that forward, looks like love and compassion and kindness. It looks like wisdom. It looks like connection with other people and other things. It looks like creativity and joy. And living that spirituality doesn't mean that I don't have an ego, because we all have ego. We are both. We are spirit and we are ego. We are and have within us that intellect, that cognitive thinking, that rational mind, and we have intuition. That's the voice of spirit that leads us and guides us. We have that place within us that feels and seems to itself that we are separate and distinct from everyone else. And there's another part of us that knows there is only one, and that we are all in that invisible realm, one and connected to each other and part of that whole. We have head and we have heart. We have all those different aspects. All of us have that within us. We have that ego. The ego within us is the part of ourselves that allows us to pay the bills and to do banking and to drive on the freeway and to maneuver around obstacles. Because if we were only anchored in our spirit and only looked through those eyes of spirit, then all the time we would only be looking through the eyes and the truth that there is only one. It's kind of hard to drive on the freeway when you're looking through those eyes. You don't see the distinct objects to maneuver around. So it's important that we are able to do both, to come from our spirit and come from our ego. But we are always both. When we come from our spirit, though, we experience connection with everyone and everything. We experience connection with people who are different than us, with cultures who are different than us. We experience connection with people that we don't even know, that we haven't even met. We experience that connection with plants and animals and life and the whole of everything. When we are anchored in our spirit, we experience peace, a peace that is beyond this world, a peace that is there within us regardless of what's going on out here. When we're anchored in our spirit, we have a sense of ease as we move through our lives. Because from that perspective, we understand that there's a bigger picture going on. It's not about just what's happening right before us. There's a bigger picture of our life and of this life path and of this evolution that we are doing ourselves. We experience love that is unconditional when we're coming from our spirit. We experience wisdom that is beyond the rational mind. That wisdom that guides us as what to do and when to do it and how to do it, that we can't learn out of a book anywhere because it hasn't been written yet. When we are in our spirit, we have an experience of joy that isn't contingent upon anything. It's just there. On the other hand, when we come from our ego, when we're centered and anchored in our ego is all about survival. Our ego is that fight or flight reaction that we have within ourselves. Our ego speaks with a voice of fear most of the time. And that voice says things like, if I don't get mine, someone else is going to take it. That voice says, if I don't do things a particular way, they aren't going to like me. That voice is all about comparisons, that voice of the ego. It's about right and wrong and black and white. He is good, she is bad. They are better than me, they are less than me, or I am less than them. It's all this comparison and this hierarchy. That ego voice says, I must conform and do what society says I should be doing, or what this group of people or my family or whoever it is that you are around says that I must be doing. I must behave in this certain way. And what happens then when we listen to that voice of the ego is it causes us to stay small. It causes us to not risk. It causes us to stay in that which is familiar because it feels safe. And when we listen to that, it keeps us from living our most authentic lives. It keeps us from living as our most authentic self. And then that keeps us from feeling totally fulfilled in our lives. I read a story this week that I'm going to share with you. It says this: Fred Craddock is a lecturer at Phillips Theological Seminary in the United States. He tells of a time when he was on holiday in Tennessee. He and his wife were having dinner at a restaurant when an old man started talking to them, asking them how they were doing and if they were enjoying their holiday. When the old man asked Fred what he did for a living, Fred saw the chance to get rid of him. "I'm a preacher," he said. "A preacher? That's great. Let me tell you about a preacher." The old man sat down at their table and started talking. As he did, Fred's annoyance was changed to one of profound humility. The old man explained that he was a bastard, in the literal rather than the figurative sense. He was born without knowing who his father was, a source of great shame in a small town in the early 20th century. One day, a new preacher came to the local church. The old man explained that as a youngster, he'd never gone to church, but one Sunday decided to go along and hear the new pastor preach. He was really good. The illegitimate boy went back again and then again. In fact, he started attending just about every week. But his shame went with him. The poor little boy would arrive late and leave early in order to avoid talking to anyone. But one Sunday, he got so caught up in the sermon that he forgot to leave. Before he knew it, the service was over and the aisles were filling. He rushed to get past people and out the door, but as he did, he felt a heavy hand land on his shoulder. He turned around to see the preacher, a big, tall man, looking down at him, asking, "What's your name, boy? Whose son are you?" The little boy died inside. The very thing he wanted to avoid was here now. But before he could say anything, the preacher said, "I know who you are. I know who your family is. There's a distinct family resemblance. Why? You're the son. You're the son. You're the son of God." The old man sitting at Fred Craddock's table said, "You know, mister, those words changed my life." And he got up and left. When the waitress came over, she said to Fred Craddock and his wife, "Do you know who that was?" "No," they replied. "That was Ben Hooper, the two-term governor of Tennessee." Wow. When we identify only with that ego, that's when we carry things like that shame. Like we have to be a certain way in order to be acceptable. Like we must behave or do a certain thing in order to be okay. But when we know that we are incarnations of that infinite one, the Son of God, emanations of that one, then we know that we are enough and that we are okay. And like we talked in the very beginning about living our spirituality, then we bring that to the world with us. But because it's the ego's job to analyze and to protect us and really to keep us alive, what happens is we judge others and we judge ourselves. Without them even saying anything, we judge ourselves. We make ourselves bad and wrong and stupid and whatever it is that your voice says to you. I talked with Chris Braunschweiger this week, and she gave me permission to tell this story, but last week when she left church, we had a board meeting after church, and if you remember, we finished up our bidding on our fundraisers, and she was one of the people that was in charge of that, so she collected all that stuff and took it home with her, and she said she was so tired that she lay down to take a nap after she got home. And when she got up, she decided to get all that stuff together and to start working on, you know, accumulating all the facts and how things worked out and everything, and it wasn't in her bag. And she said she panicked, and oh my gosh, what did I do with that stuff? Oh my gosh, did I leave it at church? And she got in her car and came back, and it wasn't here. She has everybody's sign-ups for the whole thing. This is the whole thing. She said she beat herself up so badly. How stupid she was. How could she have made this mistake? Oh my God, they're going to sue me now. They're going to think I took the money. Whatever the crazy story that she had going on in her head. Until she got home and saw that she had set it down on her desk before she took a nap and didn't remember doing that. And so I have a story that happened to me recently. I have a client, a hairdressing client, whose hair I've done for years, and she's a few years older than I am, and she decided that she wanted me to do the bottom of her hair cobalt blue. And so it's a huge process of bleaching it out and coloring it twice, and she had two different colors, and cobalt blue is not my thing. It's not what I would choose to do to somebody. And before she left, when she and her daughter came, who's in her 20s, and we had a really good time, and it took like 4.5 hours to do. It's a huge deal. And had a really good, great time doing it. And when we were all done, she looked in the mirror. She kind of got this look on her face, like a little tiny bit of shock. And she says, "Oh, I like it." And I'm thinking, she doesn't know if she really likes it yet. And so the next day, I sent her a text. "Just wanted to check on you and see how you're liking your hair." And I didn't hear back from her. And so, I don't know if it was the next day or the day after that, I text her again. "I just want to check on you and make sure that you're liking your hair and see how you're doing." Never heard back from her. I'm like, oh my goodness, she hates her hair. She's probably mad at me. Why did I do this? Why didn't I just bleach the ends of it and make it blue so you could cut them off really easy? This is like this much hair that's going to take a year to grow out. Never heard back from her. The whole time, giving myself a hard time. Why didn't I know better? I shouldn't have done that to her. Rah, 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 rah. So she was due to come back in last week, so I called her. I said, oh, just wanted to see how you're doing. How do you like your blue hair? Oh, my God, I love it. Everyone loves my hair. It's so fabulous. Her phone had exploded. I learned such a huge lesson. One of them is to quit making up stories. To quit making up a story about what somebody else thinks, what somebody else wants, what somebody else's reality is. Didn't we learn that in the Four Agreements? Don't make any assumptions. I learned not to make up stories, and I also learned even if she hated it, even if she was mad at me, even if I had done a bad job at it, which I hadn't, but even if I had done a bad job, that is not who I am. I am not what I have done. I am not my thoughts. I am not my feelings. I am not my reactions. I am the I am presence. I am that. I am that infinite one that is infinite potential and boundless good and love and peace and joy. That's who I am. And you are that same thing. You are an emanation of that infinite one. You are not what you have done. You are not what you think. You are not what you feel. You are the I of your being is that I am presence. That is who you are. And there is no judgment against that or about that ever. The I am. You are an emanation of that infinite one of good and of love and of beauty and of boundless joy. That is the essence of who you are. You are that one life expressing itself here on planet Earth, the divine. The problem is, though, if we don't do spiritual practice, if we don't take time to center in and find that center and discover that core essence of who we are, if we don't take time to meditate, to do affirmative prayer, to do affirmations, to be in the silence, then what happens is we can't find our way back home when we get our buttons pushed. We must do something that enables us to connect with our spirit. Because if we don't do that on a regular basis, what happens then is our ego runs the show all the time. If we don't do that on a regular basis, we can't find our way back home when life is difficult. We can't find our way back home when something pushes our buttons. And so if we practice on a regular basis, then it becomes easy to get back there because that has been developed to a great degree and we can find our way and just center in and find that place. That's what mindfulness is about. Someone said that's what spirituality is to them, mindfulness. That's what mindfulness is about, is to be able to separate from what you're thinking and what you're feeling and to be able to observe it and know I am not that. I am this observer that's witnessing this. Do that sometime. Notice that you're thinking and then ask yourself, who is it that's thinking that? Someone is back here that's thinking and observing those thoughts going on. That's the I am presence. And so if we practice, then it becomes easy when a curveball is thrown at us or when our buttons get pushed to find that center and to be able to come to life from that center. When we find ourselves giving ourselves a hard time, we can tell ourselves, this is not who I am. I am not my actions. I am not what I've done. I am the I. I am that presence. You are that presence. One of my favorite ideas in The Conversation with God's book by Neil Donald Walsh, he talks about how many people have this idea that we come to planet Earth because this is like a classroom, that we come here to learn lessons. And he says, how can that be true if we already know all as an emanations of the divine. If we already know all, how can there be anything for us to learn? He says, instead, we come to this planet to discover who we are. Who, capital who, capital R, who we are, all capitals. We come here to discover who we are and to decide and create who it is that we want to be. So what if the next time you made a mistake and then you find yourself judging yourself, what if instead of doing that, you viewed that mistake and that judgment and what is going on in your life right there as an opportunity, as perfectly on your path for you to discover who you are? What if it was there causing you to go inside and discover your own essence? What if you looked at that as an opportunity to make the choice right there in this moment? Who do I want to be from this moment forward? Do I want to be the one that's grouching and grumbling and berating myself and telling myself how stupid I am? Is that who I want to be here as a spirit on planet Earth? Or do I want to be the presence of peace? Do I want to be the presence of gentleness? Do I want to be wholeness? Who is it and how is it that I want to be here? What if every time you misplaced or lost that important document? Or what if every time you hurt someone's feelings? Or every time you messed up, you asked, what is this giving me the opportunity to discover about myself? Is it giving me the opportunity to discover that peace is always here and that I can tap into it? Is it giving me the opportunity to recognize that I can choose love because love is always within me as part of my essence? Is it in my life to help me discover that I am enough and more than enough because I am the divine unfolding itself here? The infinite potential of the universe here? And ask yourself, who do I want to be now? Instead of continuing on that road of beating yourself up when you drop the cat food bowl upside down on the carpet. Who do I want to be now? It's an opportunity to go deeper and to discover something. Ernest Holmes in the Science of Mind textbook says, the way to work is to begin right where we are, and through constantly applying ourselves to the truth, we gradually increase in wisdom and understanding. For in this way alone will good results be obtained. If day by day we have a greater understanding, a clearer concept, if daily we are realizing more truth and applying it to our actions, then we are on the right path. And eventually, we should be made free. It's not about being perfect. We are all on this path. All on this path of discovery, discovering who we are, and bringing that into the world. And it's about just being awake and noticing, but asking yourselves, who am I and who do I want to be in this moment is one of those things that moves you along and applies you to truth with a capital T, like Ernest Holmes says. Applying ourselves to the truth means telling ourselves, I am more than my actions. I am more than my body. I am more than my thoughts. I am more than my feelings. I am that. Which is beyond words and ideas, that stillness. I am that. I am divinity in form. I now turn within to the spirit within me and find it in all its greatness, in all its peace. In me at this moment, God abides in fullness, in richness, in omniscience. My capacity to be a great and loving person is because greatness is born of the spirit that indwells me. We are discovering that and remembering that and bringing that into our actions to our best ability. To your best ability. Not perfect, but to your best ability. That's living your spirituality. And so my invitation to you is to practice. Practice centering, just going within and finding your center numerous times a day. Because the more you practice that, the easier it is to go there. Practice meditating until you become aware of that observer, not the one that's thinking, but that part that is observing, so you can observe when you're in reaction and you can step out of it. Meditate until you discover that I am-ness within you. And when your buttons get pushed, your buttons will get pushed. Absolutely, they will get pushed. When your buttons get pushed, stop and breathe. Find that center and tell yourself, I am more than my reactions. I am more than what is going on here. I am more than what I've done. I am more than my thoughts and my feelings. I am that I am. And repeat that to yourself as often as you need to. Because here, in that I am-ness, all is well. Here, in your own I am-ness, is absolute peace. Here, in your own I am-ness, there is no judgment. Here in your I am-ness is enoughness. And so rest in that. That is who you are. Discover that inside of yourself. And then choose in each moment, who do you want to be now? And so blessings to you on this path of self-discovery and giving birth to your greatest self. And out of that, living your absolute greatest life. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in a spiritual mind treatment. What a blessing it is just to answer this call of my own spirit to remember. To turn back within to that infinite presence that indwells me, that indwells all things. What a blessing it is to just stop and remember, oh yes, here is that one infinite presence and power and life and love that is the divine expressing itself everywhere present. That which was before time began, and that which will be unto the ends of the earth, that presence is closer than breath and nearer than hands and feet. That is the presence that each and every single one of us lives in. And it is that same presence that indwells us, that indwells our hearts, that indwells our soul, that is the very spirit of who we are. I know that we can never be separate or apart from this one for an instant in all of eternity, for it is the very core and essence of who we are. And so today, we just simply remember who we are. We live a life from this perspective and through this lens. Oh yes, I am connected to that one, an out-picturing of it, here in human form as me. And so today, I know that that presence is revealing itself to us moment by moment, that it is with us and in us in every single thing we do, everywhere that we go, and everything that we think. And right now, it is drawing us nearer and nearer and nearer in recognition of it, in remembering it, in feeling it at the core of our being. And so I know that since this is the truth, this is what we express in our world. The love of God, the peace of God, the compassion and gentleness and beauty and glory and magnificence of this infinite one. This is what we are here doing today. And so I know that our lives are already blessed with all that we could possibly need, because that one is right where we are, always. And so it is with a heart filled with gratitude that I release this prayer into that law of my own beingness, knowing that as I say yes, the universe says yes in response. And so today we each say yes to this fantastic life and yes to this spiritual life and yes to experiencing and expressing this one in us and through us. And for this, I give thanks and I release this prayer and I let it be. And so it is.